So, oh, it's nicer to see you face to face, not staring at my own face on a little screen or a big screen, you know. First time was with the phone. We kind of taped it to a thing and had it propped up, and you know, I'm talking, and all of a sudden I see, hello, good morning, welcome, good morning, I'm listening, I'm on here. You see bubbles popping everywhere. Then the second one was even worse. It was, we used our laptop and just set the screen there, and then there's nothing. It's just looking at myself, so it's really strange. But if you haven't listened, I hope you get a chance to listen in. I think they're up for 30 days. 90 days, something like that, whatever Facebook said. So they'll be up there for a little while. They're not permanent. But so last week, you know, we did talk about God's wrath and humanity's sin, and that everybody knows God by either a general revelation by creation or by a special revelation of God's invisible qualities, which is his, you know, eternal power and his divine nature. That there's just a thing inside of us that knows there is a God. You know, outside factors show it to us. But inside of us, we've got a knowledge of a God. And therefore, God says people have no excuses. There's no excuses for not knowing God and having a relationship with him. But he said people don't glorify him or give thanks. They don't accept what he says. And our minds become confused and our hearts darken. And then we end up in the end of the chapter, then God gives us over according to all the things listed in Romans chapter 1. It's not a good place to be. You know, he gives us over. He says, do what you want. It's your choice. You know, life's all about choices. Do what you want. You don't want me to interfere? Okay, hands off. But the trouble is that also gives us over to suffering the consequences to our choices. So we need to take a look at what we're storing up. You know, are we storing up treasure or are we storing up wrath? And the second chapter of Romans talks about judgment. And if we're judging, then we need to be looking and judging ourselves and our choices in accordance with God's truth, not ours. You know, there's a lot of judgmental people out there. And generally the worst one's in the mirror. If you take a look at that one, you get that one figured out, it'll help you with the others. But we're going to be reading Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 11 this morning. We are going to have communion at the end, since this is the first Sunday we've been able to meet this month. So, but Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. It says, you, therefore, have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge another, you're condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based in truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, his forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile, but glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, and then for the Gentile, for God does not show favoritism. So as I said, people can be very judgmental, and I don't want to confuse it with discernment. God gives us discernment. We can discern right from wrong. God gives us the ability to discern differences. And to make the right choices. Judgment's a completely different thing. That's God's business. That's not ours. But discernment certainly is. But I'm talking all people. You know, we make our minds up early. You know, we judge by appearance. You know, how somebody dresses. You know, sometimes if somebody sees a tattoo and falls apart, you know, there's something there. Or somebody sees rings and piercings in a lot of places, and make a judgment about that. Maybe how they live, you know, the car somebody drives may be an indication, or the job they have. We surmise and make our own judgments on those, how they act, when we don't really have a clue about how they live and their background. And a background is a big thing. You know, how we come up, how we're raised, the background in our lives makes a big difference in things. And, you know, a lot of times how we dress, you know, used to be a big thing at camp, you know, and I've had it at other churches. You know, some girls come in and we wouldn't call it dressing appropriately, but, you know, sometimes they don't know better. You know, they don't know. You know, they've been taught it because it's what their parents did. That's how their parents dress. That's how somebody else dresses. That's what they know. So it's not wrong to them. That's just what they understand. But we take a little too far and judgmental and say that, you know, why are they here? We need to kick them out of here, you know, in the church. Like, you know, no, they don't know. We need to help them know. Right now, they don't. You know, some attitudes are a little rough with some people, but we don't know why. You know, we just see how they act sometimes. Now, Grayson's got a teammate on his team. Now, this is basketball team. You know, this is 7, 8-year-olds playing basketball, and he has a tough time. You know, he plays hard. He's really competitive, but he's probably as hard on himself as he is anybody. But he will react to things he does wrong. You know, he has some anger issues. And you hear some people in the crowd saying, you know, well, they need to take that kid out of there. You know, they need to give him a whooping. You know, let's go beat him a little bit. You know, we need to straighten that kid out. But they don't know he lost his dad. He's struggling with it. Don't know the background. But we judge. We judge pretty quick. Bishop Potter, keep that in mind, a bishop. Bishop Potter was sailing for Europe on one of the great ocean liners. And when he went on board, he found that another passenger was to share the cabin with him. And after going to see the accommodations, he came up to the purser's desk and inquired if he could leave his gold watch and other valuables in the ship safe. He explained that ordinarily he never availed himself to that privilege, but he had just been to his cabin and met the man who was to occupy the other berth, and judging from his appearance, he was afraid that he might not be a very trustworthy person. Well, the purser accepted the responsibility for the valuables and remarked, "It's okay, Bishop. I'll be very glad to take care of them for you." And he said, "By the way, don't feel bad either, because the other man was just up here and left his here for the same reason." So, don't be quick to judge. Don't be quick to judge. Thankfully, God doesn't judge as we do. We generally judge by what we see, what we see with our eyes. God judges by what he sees in our hearts. Those can be a lot different. You know, the outward life doesn't matter so much as to what it is in the heart. You know, outwardly, we can perform things. We can do things to... We can do actions to guide people on how we want them to think about us. The way we want to be judged if we're being judged. How we want to be thought of. But inward judgment of the heart's what's real. What's true. It's not, you know, it's not a look what I've done. It should be a look and know my heart. Understand why I did what I did. Not how I did it, but why I did it. It says God shows no favoritism to anyone. You know, he's stressing that in part of these chapters. Treats everyone the same. Fortunately, God judges with different things too. He judges, it says he judges with kindness. You know, kindness. Because he allows us to overcome our past by turning to Christ. His grace, his kindness is there for us. Also says by forbearance. He's toleration as we go through our current life choices. He tolerates our choices as we go through our life decisions. And patience, it says. And patience. And I think that's as we seek a future with him. As we try to get right with him. As we draw closer to him. He's patient. Patient to draw us to. So as we as people pass judgment on others, and then we do the same thing. And that's so true. You know, we may be agree on what we consider the worst things, you know, well, murder and stealing and lying and some of those things, you know. We don't do those evil, real terrible things. But what about the other things? You know, our words we use with others. You know, the gossip that we spread. Maybe the lust that we have inside. The pride, the bitterness we hold. You know, we ask why God doesn't judge evil people around us. Well, same reason he doesn't judge us. Same reasons. He wants us to see ourselves clearly. To understand that we're sinners too and need to repent. That part doesn't change. You know, judgment is a choice that we make. You know, we choose to judge somebody. We choose to, again, we talk about choices all the time. I'm gonna do a C.S. Lewis too today. He has a lot of good stuff. C.S. Lewis said, people often think of Christian morality as a kind of a bargain in which God says, if you keep a lot of rules, I'll reward you. And if you don't, I'll do the other thing. He says, I don't think that's the best way of looking at it. I would much rather say that every time you make a choice, you're turning the central part of you, the part that chooses, into something a little bit different than what it was before. And taking your life as a whole, with all your innumerable choices, all of your lifelong you, and slowly turning the central thing either into a heavenly creature or into a hellish creature. Either into a creature that is in harmony with God and with other creatures and with itself, or else into one that is in a state of war and hatred with God and with its fellow creatures and with itself. To be the one kind of creature is heavenly. Example, it is joy and peace and knowledge and power. To be the other means madness, horror, idiocy, rage, impotence, and eternal loneliness. Each of us at each moment is progressing to the one state or the other. So each choice we make, you know, moves us in a direction. It's either in a direction to God or from God. Every choice we make, each judgment we make draws us to or from. Each harsh word we use, each bit of gossip we share, harboring bitterness against someone else, all of them affect our relationship with God. They take us away from what we're supposed to be, from what we're supposed to have. You know, Christians even sometimes act like they've got special favor from God as far as sin goes. You know, I think sometimes like we're immune to it or it doesn't count as much. You know, that God overlooks things we do. You know, we change the names of sin to lower the seriousness of it sometimes. You know, lying becomes a little fib. You know, stealing maybe, a little bit of borrowing. You know, we're prejudiced about something and we may call that a conviction. You know, hypocritical things is when, you know, the biggest things of the church. People see you the way you're supposed to be and we don't meet those standards. And it's shown in arrogance, I think, sometimes. It's thinking we're above others when we're not. Selfishness and that it's, you know, it's my way and that's the only way. You know, not willing to listen to someone else. Again, there's certain things that it has to be one way with God and Jesus, and to understand that He's the only way. But there's other things that doesn't have to be our way. You know, we can compromise attitudes with expectations of others, but not ourselves. You know, we hold others to a high standard, but we forget ourselves. Sometimes sin fades from our mind, you know, it just, and we think God will forget it as well. It wasn't that big a deal. And sometimes we get to feel like we're walking with the Lord. We can be, and then it's, I'm in God's will. And then we get to thinking higher, I'm just, you know, I'm holy, and, you know, it starts to get dangerous. Starting to lead to pride, starting to lead to self-righteousness. And then as we become judgmental, the rules are starting to become our rules instead of God's. Sometimes we judge others, but we're blind to our own faults. We don't see them. I just don't see it. Even when they're brought up to us sometimes, I just don't see it. Well, others do. I've always said, you know, wished I could be somebody else and see myself to get a true picture of who I am. But we can't do that. And it's difficult to take a real look at yourself and acknowledge all your faults. That's not fun to do. But we do the same things we accuse others of doing. You know, sin is sin no matter who you are. You know, your background, your education, your class, whether you think you're advantaged or disadvantaged, sin's the same and God treats it the same. If you feel like you're privileged with things, then don't take it for granted. You know, if God's blessed you in different ways, you know, He's given them to you for a purpose. The purpose is to use them. He's got a plan for that. But remember, to whom much is given, much is required. So it's got to be used. Each person has to use what he's been given, however much or however little that may be. God's given you what you need to do what He's asked you to do. But I think all sin requires repentance. You know, I don't think if we don't repent, it doesn't go away. God says we're storing up wrath when we should be storing up treasures. You say, well, I'm a child of God, so I've been saved. Well, that's true. No argument. That's true. But there's still consequences of unrepented sin. You know, God says we're storing up wrath because of our behavior. Now, there will be a judgment to heaven or hell, but also believers are going to be judged by their fruit. They're going to be judged by what they gave, what they did for God. Become a believer doesn't stop us from sinning. All sin's judged, and it doesn't matter if you're a church member or not. Sin is sin. It's all judged by God. He doesn't have favoritism. We're going to have an invitation in a minute. And then after that, we are going to have communion. We'll just finish with a couple of verses here. Matthew 7:1. Says, do not judge, or you too will be judged. Or as we normally know it, judge not, lest you be judged. King James. But you will be judged as well. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there's no one righteous, not even one. So don't think you're mightier than someone else. You know, judging others when we ourselves are to be judged leads us down the wrong path. A path of sin against God, and we put ourselves in His place. And it has the effect of storing up God's wrath. You know, God judges everyone on the same basis. His word. You know, the only righteousness we have was given to us by Jesus. You know, we're clothed in His righteousness because we have none of it on our own. You know, we're counted righteous by the blood of Christ. I think we have to yield to God daily because we sin daily. And if you don't think so, then I don't think you have the proper understanding of God. Maybe you don't really know what your relationship with God truly is. But God's just. He cannot be part of sin. We can change that by seeing a clear picture of ourselves from God's viewpoint, from God's eyes, and genuine repentance when we fall. You know, God wants to forgive, but we have to ask. We have to know how serious it is and to want forgiveness. You know, I don't know how many do stock market and things like that. You know, stock market, you invest, you put in something. And you want it to grow. But things happen. Things happen. Maybe you put in some money. Maybe it goes up. Maybe it goes down. You don't have a lot of control over that. You know, and you never know till the end, you know. All that keeps going on through the life of whatever you invested until you get to the end. And then you see that you get into unrealized gains, and then you get into realized gains. What you ended up with. I think when you accept Christ, you've invested yourself in Him. I think we don't realize the unrealized gains or the unrealized losses that we're putting together through our life. I think there's a lot of stuff that's going to pull it back down that we haven't repented of, that we haven't asked forgiveness of. Because sometimes we think we're Christians, we don't need to. It's already done. It is already done. He's already paid the price, but we got to ask. We've got to ask. They just don't go away. Someday they will. We'll reach the end. And then we'll realize our gains and our losses as we come to our own judgment. Because each person is going to be judged by what they've done. On your own. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for who you are. That you judge us with grace, with patience, with tolerance. You're doing everything to draw us to repentance. And the way we judge is with our eyes. Not with our heart. We judge according to what we think is right. But Father, we need forgiveness every day. We sin and don't even know that we're blinded to it. But I ask you to open our eyes to see each day things that have been said, feelings that have been felt, strong feelings. That you wouldn't approve of. Things that have been done that wouldn't please you. Lord, anything not for you is a sin. So Lord, open our eyes to those things that we do each day. If we judge somebody, let it be ourselves, Lord. Let us see what we need to change. That we need to repent from those things we do. And draw closer to you. We're thankful you're a God that judges the hearts. You see the truth. Lord, just bless each one, Lord. Just have as we go to communion, just to think about those things. Just where are we at with you? Do we really understand you? Do we understand our relationship with you? Do we understand that we need you as a Savior every single day? Lord, we have eternal life ahead of us. But Lord, there's still a judgment to come. And Lord, we just pray that we please you in all the things we say and do. And that lifts you up to draw more people to you. Father, we just thank you. We praise you and ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen.